Well, thank you, Thomas. And it has been one of those mornings, and the morning actually started last night for us. So we had one of those days where you have plans and you think things are going to go one certain way, and then they take longer to get there, and then people go, hey, can we have a bonfire? And then you come over, it's late in the evening, and then we have animals, and you know the joy of animals, there's always something that can, and if there's something that can, something will go wrong. You know, so we did deal with the passing of a pet last night, late into the evening, and so middle of the night, I'm out digging a hole in our yard to say goodbye. it's been one of those, and then come in this morning, plug in the computer, nothing. It's there, it's just the program's not working and anything else. And I found it amusing as we were singing, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, that of all days for that song to be there, the day that every bit of technology we have just went kaplooey. It just didn't work right. Nothing we did could work right. I mean, I'm sitting here on my iPad, and thank goodness it came back up. But, I mean, everything was missing, and here we were struggling, and, you know, and so you start having those prayers. All right, God, you know, so hopefully it's going to be a really good sermon because we went through a lot to get here. So, you know, but we're still in the good news, and we're going to be in John chapter 9 this morning. John chapter 9, if you want to turn there, we're going to start in verse 8. We might actually start a little bit in verse 7, but we'll be there, and the title of this morning's message is Blind. Blind. It's a continuation of last week's message, really, and last Sunday we met a man who had been born blind. He was blind since birth. He had been blind his entire life. This guy had never seen anything. He wasn't like many people that are blind who unfortunately have gone through some tragic accident or had something or a disease or something that took their vision from them. This guy had never seen anything. And it's in the context of Jesus standing at the temple going, I am the light of the world. As the temple lights were extinguished, he encounters this man who had never had light shine through his eyes. And Jesus healed him. And it allowed him to see for the first time ever. And today, we're going to keep going. We're going to see what happens to the man after he receives his sight. And in so many stories, you see Jesus has an encounter with somebody. There's a brief, maybe follow-up, but for the most part, the people kind of go on. And Jesus moves on to the next thing, or the narrative continues on. But here we get a look back at what has happened. And remember, Jesus made clay, put it on his eyes, and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so with the last half of verse 7, it says, so he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who had previously seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, yeah, he's like him. And he said, I'm him. It's me. And therefore they said to him, how are your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. They brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just open our hearts, you open our minds, you have us to hear what we need to hear. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, today, to see what it is we need to see this morning, Jesus. Speak to us, help us apply your word in our lives. Jesus, your name we pray. Amen. Now, there's a lot of stuff in here. Number one, it's always interesting how when Jesus does a miracle, one of the first things Jesus always commands, or not always, I can't say that. I don't speak in absolutes. Most of the time, what you see Jesus do, or even when you saw the apostles do, when somebody has an ailment of some sort of physical nature, the first command usually makes them use whatever that physical ailment was. A lame person, somebody who can't walk, has been paralyzed, what does Jesus tell them to do? Get up! And here's a person who's laying there going, I haven't been able to get up ever. Here's a guy who is now blind. And funny, let's pack more stuff over your eyes just to make sure you can't see. Go to the pool and wash. Go walk somewhere. Now, we talked about light last week and how light is necessary and how if you don't have light, what happens sometimes? You bump into things, right? Do you think people that can't see bump into stuff every now and then? Yeah. Worst thing you could ever do to a blind person is rearrange their furniture. Worst thing you can do to some seeing people is rearrange our furniture because sometimes we're not paying attention. We're on our phone. We're like, whoa, who put the couch there? You know what I'm saying? So the reality is this guy has probably gone multiple times to the pool. He's gone by it. He's walked around the city. I don't know if he had a staff and he taps his way like so many people did. It doesn't say that somebody says, well, come on, Bob. I don't know if his name was Bob. But come on, we got you and we'll take you down there because the guy said to do it. Somehow he went from his encounter with Jesus, getting mud put on his eyes, and found his way to the pool of Siloam and did what Jesus said. And everybody's like, is that him? Kind of looks like him, but it doesn't really look like him. He's going, it's me. It's me. Look. And I think that brings us to the first point today is that sometimes we get blind to the work of Jesus. The people were not sure if this was the same man because of the dramatic change Jesus had brought. Nowadays, we see people that are blind, usually they have on dark sunglasses or something to cover their eyes, right? Now, that's stereotypical. I don't know that at home they're that way or what have you, but one of the things when you don't see, your eyes, you know, like right now, my eyes move around the room, you know? I don't know what my eyes are doing if I can't see out of them. And so some people, their eyes are here and here, and they'd be looking right at you and nothing. Some people, their eyes are completely whited over. And so a lot of people cover. The other thing is that, you know, one of the things that we all do, and some people do more of it, if I was to take a ball and throw it at somebody right at your face, what would you do? You do like this. If I held your hands down, worst case scenario, you go, close your eyes and back up, wouldn't you? Well, when you can't see, you don't know stuff's coming. That's another reason you cover your eyes is to keep debris and things out of your eyes and try to protect yourself as best you can. So here's a guy who whatever changed, whether it was taking a wrap off his eyes, whether it was eyes that were now crystal clear, whether it was just the fact that instead of walking around like this, the guy's now walking like a normal person. And us, sorry, say that wrong. Like a person who could see, not a normal person. Like a person who could see. And I have a feeling not only that, but if you have never seen anything and you're walking for the first time with vision, what are you really doing? Right? Are you not looking? You're looking at everything. People are walking by you, you're going. Especially if you hear their voice. You know them. They talk a little about babies in the womb, how they hear the parents' voices and they begin to recognize them a little bit. To me, I don't know how that works. They're in fluid, so it's got to sound like her. But, you know, whatever. But somehow you talk to your kids and they tell you to do that. You can listen to music. It's supposed to make them smarter. Maybe I used the wrong music. Maybe metal wasn't the right thing. But whatever. I love my kids. Just kidding. But, you know, they're hearing voices. They're hearing people that have been talking all along. And this person, he's probably going by going, that's what you look like. I hear you. I know that voice. That's your face to the voice. You hear it on the radio, don't you? That's probably our best example. You ever listen to people on the radio and go, and you have in your mind what they look like? I mean, there was a country music station up in Jacksonville, and the guy, you know, he was on the radio, yeah, this is blah, 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 and you had that deep voice, you know, and you expect, like, a dude that's like 6'4", you know, coming out, looks like The Rock Johnson, you know, raw, you know, oh, I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. The dude was like 5'4", red hair, red beard, and you're like, And then he talks and you're like, hey, how's it going? And you're like, how did that come out of you? So you got to imagine this guy is just like amazed at everything that is going on. And so people are kind of going, that looks like him, but he's not bumping, he's not acting like himself. Is it him? No, it's not him. It just looks like him. There's another guy that looks like him? Yeah. And what's he doing? It's me! You know, I think when we have that encounter with Jesus, when we see Jesus work, people around us, when we allow it to happen, they look at us and they don't see the same thing. And this transcends whether it's personal, whether Jesus has done something in your life. Do people look at you, especially people that knew you before, and they look at you now and go, is that him? You know, it really looks like him, but the words coming out of his mouth are not the same as they used to be. You know what? She acts a lot different than she did. Something that looks like him, and you're going, no, it's me. Let me tell you what's changed. Churches are the same way. When God begins to work in churches, people look back at the churches and go, that's the same church? Yeah, it's us. But God has done something here. God is moving. God is at work. And sometimes we get blind to see what God is doing. We don't notice it. We don't see it as it is. We're like, is that the same thing? We begin to question it. And then number two, don't be blind to opportunities to share the good news of Jesus. This guy had just received his sight. Now, he didn't know much. At this point, he had never been through an evangelism 101 class. He hadn't learned anything about Harold to share the gospel. Except one thing, he knew who healed him, didn't he? And he was more than happy to tell people about it. All I know, it was Jesus. He put stuff on my eyes. I washed. I can see. You know, when people tell you, what's your testimony? Tell me about Jesus. That's what you got to speak from. Look, all I know, I was into this. I felt this way. I was doing this. I encountered a man named Jesus. And he said, don't do that anymore. And I'm radically different than I was before. That's the gospel right there. That's the good news of Jesus. This guy didn't have some deep theology degree. He hadn't been following Jesus for years. He barely even knew anything about it. He technically hadn't even seen Jesus at this point, had he? He heard him. He knew his name. He knew what he did. He knew what he instructed him to do. He apparently knew who Jesus was, because I don't know about y'all, but if I've been blind since birth, some dude puts mud on my eyes and tells me to go wash, I'm going to go, okay. The faith of some of these people, it's crazy. Verse 16. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we don't know. Or who opened his eyes? We don't know. He's of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. And his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews has agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. Number three. Be careful of preconceived ideas don't blind you to the truth. Be careful preconceived ideas don't blind you to the truth. The first thing we deal with the Pharisees is they were stuck on the miracle, on what day that miracle took place. What was Jesus' crime? He worked on the Sabbath. It wasn't the healing that was work. It was the stooping down, taking mud, making a clay ball and putting it on the guy's eyes, that they considered work. And so they accused Jesus of being guilty of breaking the Sabbath, of not withholding the Sabbath, of saying he's from the devil, that he's not from God, that he's a sinner. And some people get it. Some people go look at it and go, how can a sinner do what he just did? And just because it was the Sabbath, they discounted the possibility that Jesus was from God. Because they had this idea, they had this misconception of what Scripture said, this misapplication of what the Bible said, that prevented them from seeing what God was doing. And I don't know about y'all, I think this is a wonderful story. But in some respects, it makes me angry. The way the religious leaders were. These were the people that were supposed to know better. How can your first response be, you are blind and now you see? That's amazing. Tell us about it. Their first response was, the guy who did it's a sinner. You can't receive a miracle from a sinner. That's bad. He couldn't have done it. We don't believe you. They accused him of lying about being blind since he was birthed. Not only did they accuse him, they called his mama and daddy in and accused them of lying about his ailments. Why is it hard for us sometimes to just rejoice when God does something for somebody? We've been watching the series, The Chosen. And it starts off with Nicodemus, and these are the first couple episodes, so if you missed them with us, sorry, spoiler if you're going to try to watch it at home, but here's what happened. If you're going to watch it later, just plug ears for a second. It starts off with Mary Magdalene, who was delivered of demons. And in their portrayal, they send Nicodemus. Nicodemus offers prayers. And the devil, the demons look right back at him and goes, we're not scared of you. And Nicodemus goes, I'm scared of you. Took off and ran. All right. Which, you know, I would imagine the same thing if some female went, oh, we're not scared of you. I'd freak out too. And he was scared. But then a few days went by. And what he doesn't know is that in that interim, Jesus had walked in. And she's been delivered. She's been healed. She's in her right mind. She's walking around. She's happy. Happier than she's ever been. She's met the Messiah. She's met the Savior. And Nicodemus, he's starting to get excited. And at first, he went and asked her. The people were questioning, but he went and asked. He goes, when did it take place? Because see, in his mind, he thought it was something he had done. And she quickly went, oh, it wasn't you. It was Jesus. It was this other man who called my name and I was healed. Now this started something within Nicodemus that started this inner turmoil within him that we know later, well, at least we know through Scripture that he at least went and questioned Jesus about who he was, right? We get John 3:16 out of this encounter. But the others, because it wasn't the religious leader, it was somebody else, immediately the walls went up, the defenses went up going, well, this we have to research this. We have to hunt this down. This can't be right. This can't be of God. I don't know why, but sometimes we have a hard time rejoicing when we see others being delivered, being healed, receiving blessings, especially if we're not, or we at least think we're not. Or we're not involved in it one way, shape, or form, right? But the biggest problem they had, like I said, was they had a thought, they had an idea, they believed something that was misapplied by them that was preventing them from seeing what Jesus was doing, prevented them from seeing who Jesus was. And I think sadly there are a lot of churches out there that are missing the move of God, missing what God is doing because of preconceived ideas and what we would consider even tradition in some respects. Of how things should be, of when things should take place. That we're missing opportunities to allow God to move in the way God wants to move and in His time. And we look at churches that are doing things radically different than us, and we are all quick to try to tear them down and to find fault with it. I'm the same way. I read stuff from other pastors and things that goes on social media, and my mind begins trying to critique it and pick apart what they've said. Some of them rightfully so. There are some that are very popular that put stuff out all the time that they're reading a different Bible than I am. Just be honest. But there's a lot that you're just like, that's amazing, that's awesome. Verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind. So get this, they've questioned him. He's told them. They didn't believe him. Called his mom and daddy. They told him. Called them liars too. Called him back. Said, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. In other words, stop telling us it was Jesus. Tell us who really did it. And he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, and I love this. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. I don't know what his deal is. I'm not 100% sure who he is. All I know is he came to me. I had an encounter with him. I couldn't see. I can now. Everything else, I don't care. It's basically what this guy just said. And they said again to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I'm loving this guy every minute, every bit more every minute. And he answered them, I already told you. I don't know if he got that indignant, but for some reason I think he did. I already told you. I mean, you've already called me a liar. You already called my mom and daddy a liar, and I've already told you once. And you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? I don't know where this guy got his, let's use a Jewish word, chutzpah. All right, I don't know where he got it from, but this guy is bold. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he is from. And this man, all of a sudden, he got an instant theology degree. This man answered and said to them, why? This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. Uh-oh. Preach it, brother. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears them. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who has been born blind. If this man were not for God, he could do nothing. Now these were the religious leaders. This was just some poor blind beggar guy sitting out on the street. And he just gave him a master's level course in theology. How do you think they took it? They answered and said to him, you are completely born in sins and you're teaching us. And they cast him out. And Jesus heard they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see. And that those who see may be made blind. Some of the Pharisees were with him, heard these words, and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to him, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Number 4. Standing in the light of Jesus, is a cure for blindness. Standing in the light of Jesus is a cure for blindness. Jesus opened the physical eyes of this man who had never seen the world around him. And that's an amazing thing, is it not? It is a miracle above miracles. This guy still didn't know exactly who Jesus was, but he knew he could see, and that was only possible through an act of God. And he was right. You know, there's a boldness that comes from being able to see. Like I said, I don't know about y'all, but walking through the woods, walking around, and even in daylight sometimes. Like, unfortunately, we had a tree come down, so I've got a pile of stuff on one part of our trail. And sadly, my tractor, the blade's not spinning right, so I can't use the bush hog. So I got to figure out something else to do. I just haven't, you know. But we were trying to walk our trail yesterday. Well, there's grass and stuff kind of growing up over it and, you know, and things like that. And I've told you my love of, you know, outdoor critters, especially those that slither, right? How do you think I'm walking through the woods? Especially I tried to take a shortcut and cut right by the big pile of wood I got. And you know what loves big piles of logs, right? Ooh, let's hide in here. And I'm like, and I like run past it, and I'm tiptoeing, and I'm looking around, I'm checking. Why? Because I can't see what's there. And it's broad daylight, so it doesn't always have to be dark when you can't see. But out in the middle of the field, did I have a problem with it? Now, then you got to watch out for it. Out there is horse apples, but you can see those. There's a boldness that comes when you're seeing. You're walking through the woods, you're walking around, you're walking through life, and you can see where you're going. You walk a little easier, don't you? Walk a little bolder. You encounter people that you have a connection with, people that you know. You talk to them a little different than people you don't know, don't you? There's a boldness that comes from being able to see, being able to understand, being able to know. Now, more importantly than physically being able to see is having your spiritual eyes opened. So not only could this gentleman see physically, Jesus came and opened his spiritual eyes. And I love how Jesus usually meets a physical need and then deals with the spiritual, doesn't he? And I've said this before, there's a reason we do what we consider ministry, our missions. A lot of times, accompanies prior to evangelism. Because it is hard to walk to somebody and go, did you know Jesus is the living water? When they're thirsty. They have no concept of what that means. But if you can give them water to drink, now you can make a connection. It's hard to tell somebody that Jesus is the bread of life when you're dealing with somebody who's hungry. To meet the physical is a great starting point. Starting point. It's not the end all of ministry. The gospel is about connecting people with the love of Jesus Christ. Not only helping the physical, but helping the spiritual as well. And that's exactly what Jesus does. Do you believe in the Christ, the Messiah? Who is he? And I love that Jesus said, you have both seen him. Because the list of people that this man has now actually seen is not that long, is it? It's not like 40 years worth of seeing people. He's got a, when did I see him? All right, he has an hour or so of seeing that he's got to run through. And he goes, and now I'm talking to you. Ooh. When we can see, we are held responsible for what we run into, aren't we? Why were the Pharisees, why did they have such a problem? Because they knew better. They know better. Now, we like to use this excuse, and I was talking about it, and talking about tickets and stuff like that one time with police officers. And growing up, it was years and years and years before I ever got a speeding ticket. And I'm not saying I would like to say, well, it's because I never sped. No, I just never got caught. All right? Repent now, sorry. But that's just reality. I violated a lot of traffic control devices. At least that's what the ticket always called it. which means the light was darker color than I thought it was, and it was red, and I went through it. Or that octagonal sign that's red and says three, you know, four words on, or four letters on it, says stop. I missed those. Those were usually the things that I did as a younger driver. I forgot to do those. And you'd like to say, well, I just didn't know. And I got a ticket one time. I was coming home from work, and I believe the police officer was looking for people in the neighborhood that probably shouldn't have been in the neighborhood. But I had a taillight out in my car. Police officer pulls me over and goes, did you know you had a taillight out? No, sir. I sure didn't, because I'm never behind myself when I'm driving. I did not know that. He goes, yes, you have a taillight out. I'm like, well, thank you. Expecting him to go get it fixed. And me go, okay. That's not what he said. Next words were, driver's license registration. What the? I was hoping for a warning. I didn't get one. Now, in reality, should I have been held responsible for the fact that my taillight was out? Somebody said, uh-huh. See, I say uh-uh because I didn't know my light was out. I'm not behind me. I mean, let's be real. I'm not driving behind myself. How do I know my light's out? Unless somebody goes, sir, your light's out. Okay, thank you. But that's not what the law says. The law says you operate a vehicle. Anything that happens and is wrong with a vehicle is the driver's responsibility. That's like if you get a pilot and you fly one of those little small airplanes, you're supposed to do a checklist on your airplane before you fly. If you get up in the air and your prop falls off about 5 minutes into the flight, whose fault is that? Well, you can blame the mechanic. But you're going to be standing up in heaven going, I thought the mechanic fixed it. Aren't you supposed to check that? Yeah. Well, you know, if you'd have spun that prop, it would have fallen off on the tarmac, right? Yeah, I forgot. And see, our sin can be sometimes the same ways. There's sin that we come into this world. We are sinners. We are born that way. And I don't know how. I'm not going to get in the mind of Jesus when he holds us accountable for what we do. But at some point, at some time in our life, there becomes a realization that something we're doing is incorrect. I think it's earlier than we give people credit for, because just watch little kids. They know what they're not supposed to do. We had friends visiting yesterday, and we had one little. She's little, with three. Oh my gosh, they have that kind of energy again. Wow, but anyway, we have stairs. I choose very carefully when I go upstairs. Because I want to be up there for a while before I come back down. And I don't want to have to go up and down. Worst thing is when I go up, get dressed, come back down, and my wallet's still in my other pants upstairs. Oh, I hate that. I start yelling, Jessica, you upstairs. Throw down my wallet because I don't want to go back upstairs. This kid, her dream was to be upstairs. Every time we'd be sitting there, the next thing you see is the kid going, step one, step two, step three. Start and go to the, what are you doing? And run back. Now, does she know she was doing something she wasn't supposed to be? Yeah, and you know how I know? Because she was watching her mom and daddy the whole time. All right? If she knew for sure, now does she fully understand the consequences of it? Probably not. But see, this is what Jesus is telling them. It's like, you know what? You're not blind. You know better. You've studied the words. You know what I said. You talked to God. You're supposed to have communion with him. You're supposed to know exactly what he says. You are not blind. Therefore, your sin remains. You know better. Church, we know better. We know how we're supposed to behave. We know how we're supposed to act. We know how we're supposed to engage the world around us. Our sin remains. And I'm going to tell you, the light of Jesus either illuminates or it blinds us. We either look at it and we go, so that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Or we try to attain the glory for ourselves and look so long and we get blinded to what's going on around us. I told you all about my headlamp. I love my headlamp. Use it all the time. And when you first put the batteries in that thing, it's bright, isn't it? I mean, it's bright even when the batteries are going down, but it's really bright. And when I put that headlamp on and I shine it out here, I can look all around. Everywhere I look, I can see. Everything's illuminated. I can look for danger. I can look for warning signs. But there are times where I've done dumb things, like walk past the mirror in the hallway with it on. Headed out the door. Got to check myself one time before I go outside. And oh, I was blind. I couldn't see for a while. The light of Jesus either illuminates or it blinds. Where are you at this morning? Just remember, standing in the light of Jesus is the cure for blindness. You want to see, Jesus is the way. He is the light of the world. Now, in just a second, Thomas is going to come up here and lead us a song. And because of the lovely technical difficulties we had, I'll be over there. But we're going to have an invitation. So if you're online, you're in here, and there's something you need to confess, and you want to come up here and pray, pray. You want to pray where you are, pray. If you're like, you know what, I've never accepted Jesus and I need to do that, come on up here, just stand right over here. I'll take a break from the music if you're like, I need Jesus. Trust me, we'll go a cappella, we'll call it a day, we'll stop, whatever, we'll pray. If you feel like God is leading you to be a part of the ministry here, just talk to us after the service. We'll be glad to get the paperwork filled out for you, whatever we need to do. We'd love to have you here with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that you do come, that you have shone a light onto this dark, dark world. God, help us to be reflections of who you are. Help us to show others who you are. God, forgive us our blindness. Forgive us when we don't see where we need to be, where we don't see what we need to do. Holy Spirit, just speak to us. If there's anyone here that needs to get right with you, that needs to, whatever it is, encounter they need to have with you, Jesus, I pray that you encounter them this morning. If there's anyone online that just needs you, Holy Spirit, you're not confined to this building. Touch them where they are. Jesus, we just thank you that you've come, that you have opened our eyes. God, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Come on.